Less than 20% of the internet traffic is now established, but it's still very weak. My message to America, to the United States, and to Israel is please think of the Iranian people. If you are thinking of democracy in Iran, and I do believe deeply that a democratic Iran is the best partner for any of those countries to deal with. Afterwards, leave it to the Iranian people. Please put maximum pressure, but diplomatic pressure. IRGC has been listed by Europe, the European Council, yesterday, finally, as a terrorist organization. They can freeze their assets. Please stop dealing with this regime and do not do a military attack. I don't believe that. That is not for the interests of the people. That is, again, to strike a deal, as Trump wants to. This is not for Iranian people. This is just for business.
I want to thank you so much, Sepideh Farsi, for being with us from Paris, France. Iranian filmmaker and activist once jailed in Iran. Director most recently of Put Your Soul on Your Hand and Walk. That does it for our show. On Monday, February 23rd, Democracy Now! Will be celebrating our 30th anniversary at the historic Riverside Church in New York. Our guests will include Angela Davis, Naomi Klein, REM's Michael Stipe, Wynton Marsalis, the jazz legend, Masab Abu-Toha, V, Hooray for the Riff Raff. I mean, Amy Goodman, thanks for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got four requests for this thing already today. Strutting right with it.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Genius Box. I'm Althea.
I'm Reed.
Doing the voice from our very own theme song. How you doing, Reed?
Good. Nice to be back in the stew.
Yeah. Back in the box.
I was away last week.
Right.
This is first all live, in-person, non-virtual Genius Box in... A couple weeks,
but we're here for
kinda
you
crazy.
Which is the main thing,
doing the energy our... I can folks, I know you can't see it,
right?
But
it is radio.
Hold your hand up to the radio and you'll feel a little bit of static electricity probably generated off it.
Please don't start pulling on those wires, guys. That again, we said that the other week, please don't. I mean, we want you to be with us, but we'll just use our ears for
if
that
you do
kind of
actually
thing.
Feel static from your radio, maybe pull over and just check the I would maybe turn it off at that point.
We here at Genius Box don't endorse electrocution, but we do.
Brave stance.
Many other radio shows might be doing that kind of thing, so I just wanted to get on the record.
Yeah, kind of a Howard Stern-esque.
All right,
let's dial it up to 3,000 volts.
Ish. Okay. This is Friday Talk Radio here on KBOO. We're going to be talking about some headlines. We're going to have you be calling in later in the show, so stick around. We've got a lot of interesting little topics.
You will be listening. You will be calling.
You must. You have to. Let's get into some of our headlines here. Where do you want to start? We got a couple things that people, you know, just we got to focus in on.
Should we just go?
Let's go in order. Let's start with.
Do it in order?
Yeah. We got some city council goings on here in Portland.
Sounds so quaint when you put it that way.
City council goings on?
Goings on, yeah.
What?
Like they're meeting in the local malt shop to talk over the new what to do for Flag Day.
Yeah. We'll start with a flag. No, it is okay. A little perhaps more consequential than that exact thing.
Oh, yeah.
They were debating and didn't come to a resolution at this week's city council meeting about this extra $21 million.
Just pocket change.
Portland
Housing Bureau, I guess, just they said
got wedged on the couch cushions.
Yeah, well, we got the broom out. We started sweeping up the floors, and what do you know?
Wouldn't you look at it and see? There's $21 million that is supposed to be going towards rental support, I think that everybody forgot about. And so at the end of last year in December, the District 1 East Portland councilors, Candace Avalos, Loretta Smith, and Jamie Dunphy put forward this resolution to take that money and spend it towards rental assistance to try to stop people from becoming homeless. They called it the Slow the Inflow resolution.
That was like rent assistance, housing vouchers, rapid rehousing programs, so kind of like immediate interventions to Multnomah County, or, you know, the city of Portland, Multnomah County's, you know, like rapidly increasing
some of
houseless population. I mean, it's like a huge issue. Maybe the, you know, depending on how you slice the pie, the big issue in the city.
Certainly. And that this type of thing, you know, rental assistance, housing vouchers, rapid rehousing, those are things that since the pandemic we've seen a lot of the funding dry up for, which is worth noting. This is something that does actually keep people out of homelessness, even as we're seeing that those numbers and people are falling on harder economic times and ending up in that situation.
And there's some karmic restitution as well in terms of how this money came to the Portland Housing Bureau, because
mention that, please.
It is directly, money that's been flowing since 2018, and it's generated from these small fees that landlords pay when they register new units, or is it tied to, I don't know if it's as part of the ordinance, the landlords are required to register all new units, as well as all their units currently, as well as pay a small fee. So
that's this pot of money that's everybody forgot about. And of course, we would probably be having a different conversation if they had remembered in May that the money was there.
Oh, funny.
Because of all of our budget problems, of which there's going to be more.
And it is another, you know, hot issue that we won't really address today, but that the outgoing, or I guess the former Portland Housing Bureau director, Helmi Hisserich, had sent a memo to City Council, because City Council, they had in fact discussed, we have, you know, an $18 million budget deficit in November. You know, we want to fund programs like rent assistance, things like that. They don't have the money for it. And then, funny enough, just shortly thereafter, Hisserich, you know, the outgoing director, says, well, you know, we actually had $21 million. I was told
not to tell anybody.
Not to tell anyone about it.
Because it would be embarrassing. And was it embarrassing? Yeah, of course. But anyway, this resolution is before council now, but there's been some changes to where this money might go. Some of the other councilors outside of the folks from East Portland are pitching that $5 million of that should go towards quote-unquote affordable housing developments. There's ongoing projects that the city is involved in, some of which are needing more funds, and there's also...
Kick it on over to Prosper Portland.
There's some hesitation. I mean, I think what we're probably going to see at their final vote next week is some sort of compromise on this, which, of course, even $16 million going towards rent assistance, housing vouchers, and rapid rehousing, that's still $16 million more dollars than
are going
there right now as soon as they pass this, right? But, and affordable housing is something that needs to be built, but... anytime this sort of thing comes up, it calls into question the rate at which we decide something is affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And the specific projects that some counselors have proposed moving this money towards, the Broadway Corridor project, they are at 60% of the area median income,
mm-hmm.
60 to 120%. And many of the, and with that sort of index, it's very, very close to market rate.
Yeah.
So it's not the meeting the deeply affordable units that the city really needs. And in fact, there's earlier reporting in the past couple months about how many of the city's quote unquote affordable units are sitting empty because they're allowed to be rented close to market rate, but there's extra hoops that you have to jump through in order to to be considered for affordable housing,
mm-hmm.
that people would rather not jump through if it's not actually going to be much more affordable to them.
Right. Yeah. I guess we should say there are, as I was reading in this, there are 50 units in that whole project reserved for those under 30% AMI, which is, kind of getting closer to the deeply affordable, but that's 50 units.
Right.
It's not.
So keep an eye on it, I guess, is the point of this. There's some tension there for sure. I think we'll see some money going towards these affordable housing developments. But I guess the point that I want to make is anytime you hear affordable housing, which we definitely need, look at what it's allowed to be rented at.
Yeah, because it's based on that percentage of area median income, which is set by the federal government, which is potentially not the greatest measure for...
Right.
I mean, we're looking at...
And we're still in a situation where our state is in ongoing litigation against a company that has a Real Page, that's what it's called.
Real Something was
allegedly fixing rents across the state and inflating the rate. And I think also, trust your own experience, by the way. Your own experience. You know what is a reasonable rental rate and what is affordable. And to say that market rate is, everything is good, actually. We don't need to build more affordable housing because market rate is something that everybody can afford. Yikes. Also, why are we using median? I don't know. Let's not litigate that whole thing. We have other things we want to talk about.
No, let's sit around.
Let's sit around and let's talk about median mode.
I'm a fan of mode mostly because it's my favorite way of eating pie.
There you go. Ala mode. Ala median? I don't know what that is. Sounds bad.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're only going to get 60% of what
Alamedian
you wanted.
Does sound Alamedian. Like you're only going to get 60% of the pie.
Yep. Okay. Other stories we wanted to talk about. Guys, the short legislative session is starting on Monday.
I know you're excited.
I know you're really excited. I know everybody. Yeah. Mark your calendars, guys. Very excited.
Short legislative session Sunday.
Get ready. One of the things, I mean, there's
I'm going to be doing my live stream, staying up for the whole 45-day session.
35, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm going to do extra 10 days to debrief.
There's it's a sprint that they call it a sprint. There's a lot of things that legislature is going to have to look at, balancing the budget. Hey, the Trump administration cut a lot of programs. There's a lot.
Separating our tax system from the federal tax system, potentially.
That's also possibly one of the things that they're considering. Better protections against ICE.
ICE kidnapping people, yeah.
Maybe the legislature wants to do something about that. One of the other things that...
So in the downtime,
there's a whole thing about, hey, remember the transportation package from last year?
remember how 2025 was the year of transportation?
And they passed this bill.
Hooray!
Well, they couldn't pass it in their normal long session. Boo. And then they had to come back in September.
Hooray!
And they were pulling teeth to get all of the votes together. Mm-hmm. There was a senator who was sick and couldn't attend, and so it was getting delayed and delayed and delayed, but it was a big problem because they had to come back because ODOT needed to be funded.
Yes.
The Department of Transportation would have to plow roads, and if without
somewhat
funding,
important
without funding
roads, you ever heard of them, folks?
Yeah, no. You have to stay home. Yeah. So
we'll
they
just take the sidewalk
this. Right. Well, yeah,
I guess they also,
but you still, well, there's a lot, and
just drive on the sidewalk.
Drive. Great point. Drive on the sidewalk, bridges, seismic upgrades, who cares? That's
ferries.
That's not
I'm sorry. We those are critical. That's critical infrastructure. Ferry operators.
Yeah, we could have more, I think, but that's not, I don't even think.
We probably have, you know, they have those like economic multipliers, which states like have a disproportionate amount of these employees. I bet Oregon, 1865,
yeah,
probably economic multiplier of like 5 million of ferry operators.
Interesting.
Just something to think
just
about.
Just something to think about how many ferry operators were. We have a real dearth of.
How many
days.
Of them are just, yeah, just chewing a little straw, sitting on a wicker chair, just going.
Wicker chair at sea?
Just shaking their fist at a bridge.
Right. I got. Let me just say what they're trying to do here.
Yeah, I guess we never did say that.
So it's this big old compromise bill, including how they're going to fund it, which is a 6-cent. Gas tax increase, mm-hmm. and some increases to title fees. And wouldn't you know that Republicans, the Taxpayer Association of Oregon, they didn't like this.
They
collected a lot of signatures, enough to put a referral of this particular aspect of the transportation funding package to send that to the voters to vote up or down. Hey, do you want this tax increase?
And it turns out when you do that generally, people don't want the
people
tax
don't
increase.
People love getting more taxes. So,
I will say, because probably it was conveyed in not the most forgiving manner to...
There's probably that as well. Anyway, Governor Kotek, which this was sort of her signature thing that had to get
no
done.
No pun intended.
She signed it. She did sign it. But now she's come out against it.
Uh-huh.
I hate that we did that. We spent most of last year working on it. Yeah. And you guys should repeal
it. I was tricked.
Probably. I was tricked.
I got a trick pen.
And Kotek was wanting the legislature to repeal it, but then found out that since it had already been referred with enough votes to the ballot, they can't do that.
Drat.
They can't repeal it. So
it to its stupid voters.
The task of the legislature is to change the law, basically, to allow it to be on the ballot in May instead of November, with the thinking being that Kotek, running for re-election, and legislative Democrats are likely to get hung out to dry mm-hmm. over this gas tax measure, so they might want to deal with it and wipe their hands of it.
So
beforehand.
Basically, we have to do the legislature's job, which I think we should get some of their paycheck, because I, as much money, I should get paid for the 5 minutes that it takes for me to fill out the ballot.
I think that's a great idea.
Paid legislator.
Well, paid voter.
Paid voter.
Let's start there. I know that that's
going to be popular, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like it has no model in American history. They used to give you $5 or a free beer voucher if you vote for a particular
that's
party.
Right. Or they'd
stupid progressive reforms in the 1900s.
Or
they made
or
that
they'd
so we
Edgar
can't do that
Allan
anymore.
Poe you if you didn't vote for the right thing.
Right.
Or wait, what?
What does Edgar Allan Poe have to do with it?
Well, didn't he famously, there's like some conspiracy that he died because as he was, you know, they would like, I think he died in Baltimore, and they, you know, in those local elections, they would like drug people or they get guys really, really drunk, and then they take him into the election office and they'd have him vote, you know, multiple times.
Oh.
And he was like found dead under mysterious circumstances around a major election.
Guys, if you know anything about Edgar Allan Poe's death, please call 503-231-8187.
Yeah,
I
if
don't...
you have any... What is that supposed to be? Cold case 1842.
Yeah, if you've got any intel on this, please let
yeah.
us know.
Yeah, I've seen something. Maybe yeah. I did.
For the right price, I might have seen something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was a long time ago.
Gas tax repeal. Something I just want to mention, and we don't have to spend a ton of time on it, but
okay.
the way that we fund our roads mm. and we fund ODOT is fundamentally broken and
yeah.
will not work forever.
I think that is well understood.
Cars are more efficient. Electric vehicles are becoming more popular. We haven't funded them well in the past. And it's interesting because it used to be sort of like the perfect taxation model, right?
Yeah.
Because
that's how we built all of the highways.
Right. Is that if you pay for what you use, which makes sense, and cerebrally we can get, but when that burden actually becomes too small to be able to meaningfully upkeep things, that becomes a problem. So turning to tolling, turning to road usage fees, mm-hmm. that's a pivot that is going to have to be made pretty soon, but we're not ready for that yet.
Well, I think also, like, I mean, you can compare it to the original, big transportation highway bill, people seeing major infrastructure built out of their money. That's something that I feel like a quote unquote taxpayer can more easily register as, oh, these two things are meaningfully connected. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, there's so much upkeep. There's so much road maintenance required. There's so many issues with roads, so much congestion built out of just this system can't actually handle the burden that we're placing on it anymore. Right. That it's very difficult, I think, to make that meaningful association.
I think you're right. And I think it's true of many different industries. I mean, KBOO's like a nonprofit and trying to get grant funding and things like that. It's not as exciting to fund something that already exists. It's like, you guys are already driving on the road.
Let's not make ourselves out like the, Rose Quarter. When you contribute to KBOO, you hear great programming, you hear insightful voices.
I think our listeners very well understand the return.
My back against the wall and I'm
back against the box,
shifty-eyed, trying to find a way out.
No, guys, it's good. No, I mean, there is an obvious return to that, but people are much more excited about funding new things. Oh,
that's
what if
true.
We
new highway.
New highway. Put a here. Maybe here's what we do. Instead of saying that we're filling potholes, we're putting new highway where the old highway is.
We're putting more potholes in, which makes it more exciting to drive.
You wanted your front axle broken, I thought.
We're putting out more banana peels.
Yeah, it's very Mario Kart-esque.
Goomba shells.
So that's what's going on with the gas tax. Keep an eye on that. In the next month, we'll be hearing more about it, I'm sure.
What if the measure fails? What if people just say, the gas tax?
I mean, that would be interesting.
Wouldn't that be kind of crazy?
But then I don't understand necessarily why we didn't pass something better that would actually, because it's such a compromise bill. Yeah. Everything all the legislators were saying about it was, we don't like this. It's not good, but we have to. It's a stopgap measure. I mean, talk about being up against the wall. We have to pass this. There's no other option. It sucks, and I don't want to do it, but we're doing it. And so if it was going to be in this contentious situation, why not at least put something forward that you could be proud of?
It does seem as opposed to the equivalent of the submitting the paper and being like, I never want to look at this thing again.
Yeah.
Here you go. Take this
assignment
junk.
Was stupid, and I don't know why you asked me to do it.
Yeah.
Basically. Well,
furnished
that's what's going
by ChatGPT.
we're pivoting now.
Oh, yeah.
Last week we talked about data centers.
Oh, yeah.
In Oregon. We have a bit of follow-up.
Industry of the future.
Industry of the future.
They're calling it industry of the future.
But entirely uncontroversial.
Yeah.
There's a story out of the Dalles right now, which is that the Dalles has a bill before Congress to take a bigger chunk.
The U.S. Congress,
clear. If you guys have ever heard of that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
As opposed to all the other ones.
Everyone's favorite body.
Yeah, known for getting things done. The Dalles wants to take a bigger chunk out of the Mount Hood National Forest for their water reservoir needs. It's already passed through the House.
It turns out this is what they can get done.
Yeah, they can get this done. But the question is, why do they need more water, and does it have anything to do with the Google data center that's built in the Dalles right now? And so April Ehrlich over at OPB looked into this and found some interesting stuff.
Yeah. So first off, you could just kind of, I understand that OPB has this article, and we'll talk about it. There was some controversy.
Well, the mayor didn't like how
how it came out. And then, April Ehrlich comes out and clarifies, I spent, 5 trillion hours looking over 2,000 documents,
right.
15 hours of public testimony. Mm-hmm. You could also just look at the bare demographics of the city, which is that the Dalles hasn't really grown much in the last 15, 20 years. I think they said they added 1,700 people.
Right. So it's got there's 16,000
people there.
Right.
They're asking for a massive upgrade of their water system, and you would ask for whom?
And so the mayor says, quote, Google is really not a factor in this at all.
Nope.
We were planning on doing this without Google. So the story very clearly states that, I mean, Google's denying it, the city's denying it, that's not what this giant upgrade to our water system, no. And we need a bigger slice of the national forest to get more water. It has nothing to do with Google. That's what they're saying.
Absolutely nothing to do with Google. We've just been talking about it for about 20 years, just as long as Google's been around here, and just have decided this year, when Google is deciding, has just completed another data center, is set to complete another one this year, to upgrade the system.
Right, and there's a line.
Desperately, please pass this. Please pass this.
Please pass it, and don't look too close.
And don't look too close. Which I will say, sorry, not to go on another tangent, but they put it to their Congress member, Cliff Bentz.
Yeah. He has a good quote in this.
Who's got a great quote in this? First off, Cliff Bentz, now that's a name. That is a crazy, like, you know, straw in the mouth.
So you think he should be a ferry boat captain?
That is the quintessential ferry boat.
Cliff Bentz ferry boat captain.
Bentz ferry boat. But anyway,
his quote.
Cliff's quote is, "Did I ask him how they were going to use the water and who was going to get it? No."
Okay,
I mean,
he goes on.
He goes on. But that is to say, I love how Cliff gets his bill where it's like, we would like to buy up a huge amount of federal national forest land around the around this reservoir to expand the reservoir for a city in a way that they haven't done in a very long time. And he takes it and he goes, "That looks good to me."
I didn't look into it at all. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
Right?
I am a shill. Do you think I'm supposed to scrutinize things?
That's the sort of, you know, deep thought that we hope
from our
legislators.
He says, the focus here is on how we can do things more efficiently at the governmental level and to make it more likely that we can offer services and utilities to business so that we can get better jobs for higher pay to people, Althea. That's important.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's not worth focusing on. But
so we'll start with the government efficiency to get more services and utilities to business. That part we'll do. The second part then will come.
Right. Absolutely. So, okay, here's the thing. So, of course, all the officials are denying that this has anything to do with Google. I just want to quote from the article, right? So the mayor says, Google's not a factor.
No.
This is going to happen without Google. From the article, quote, "Yet the Dalles 2024 Master Water Plan projects the city will need at least 1 million gallons per day, specifically for an unnamed industrial user." That's the same amount Google is using in the Dalles.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, from all of this research.
And I will say, then the mayor says, you know, this OPP reporting is, you know, basically journalistic malpractice, egregiously misleading, more Kinoa opinion piece.
Yeah.
They are leading the readers to believe that this unnamed industrial user is Google when it's clearly unnamed industrial user.
Right. And there's definitely, and we talked about this last week, not a pattern of local officials not naming the tech giants that they are working with, or the holding companies, or there's a whole thing about how folks at the port, I forget of where in Oregon, but they weren't allowed to say Amazon.
Oh.
they were required to be quiet about that. Here's my thing. If A equals B and B equals C.
Yeah, this is like a math problem.
Right.
Sort of
what could possibly be the relationship between A and C?
Okay.
Could they be equal?
No. So it's that A is equal to an unnamed B. We'll call it B. And then B, an unnamed, we'll call it B, different
confusing.
B. Sorry, different B is equal to C.
Right.
You're going to say that those two Bs are the same?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's nothing. One is unnamed industrial user, and the other is Google. They're so clearly different.
Those are obviously different
things. I think it's so funny to be like, you have in your master plan, like, oh yeah, there is this user that's using up all of the water, and so that's why we need to expand. And then a reporter comes in and says, oh, that user is this, and you say, this article is grossly misleading. It has nothing to do with the business that you named. And therefore, I'm not going to actually mention it, but it has nothing to do with business whatsoever. Even though I've said that it has to do with unnamed industrial business.
Absolutely. And just that, like, it's misleading unless, or that it could only be considered factually true if local officials admitted to it. And any other evidence or research or, and extremely thorough, right? The original reporting is thorough, and then the line by line, making sure everything was correct, because the mayor of the Dalles posted a letter from the former public works director who didn't agree with it.
Yeah.
That
No, you're wrong because I'm saying that that's not the case.
Right.
And I did it.
Yeah. Hello.
So
there wasn't.
I
there
wish
was
I could get that kind of defense in, you know, criminal court when I. Your Honor, I did the crime. And I'm saying I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. So, I didn't do it. So it's inaccurate to say that I did. There was one inaccuracy, though.
Oh,
do you want to quote this for us?
OPB is deeply apologizes for this gross mischaracterization of reporting. Yeah, OPB did say, okay, we incorrectly reported that projected monthly residential water rates are expected to climb by 7% by 2036.
However,
the Dallas 2024 Water System Master Plan forecasts that rates will climb by 99% by that year. OPB regrets the error.
Oops, our bad. Yeah. It's going to increase by 100% basically.
Yeah.
By 2036. And we said something extremely conservative instead. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any last thoughts on this, Reed, before we take a little musical break and come back for our call-in portion of the program here on the Genius Box?
I just can't wait for those better jobs for higher pay to people to roll in.
Right. And check out our episode last week if you want to hear us digest why data centers are not the greatest industry to do that with, possibly. Not that we don't need industry, but...
Not that we don't need... Yeah. And
but data centers...
Great industry like the meme-making industry, like the...
Google Gemini scraping through all your emails and trying to suggest that you should say something.
Grok GPT pedophile.
Yeah, they're trying him in European court for that now. Did you see?
Him?
Elon Musk.
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
I was personifying his chatbot.
I thought you were personifying the chatbot.
We're not... Well, it's definitely the subject of the lawsuit. Anyway, you're listening to Genius Box here on KB Radio. We're going to take a quick musical break and we'll be right back.
In my bed, on my phone, locked away, free to go. TV on, every night, scrolling on and on and on. On and on and on and on. I saw the news, watched a clip. That was down, then it hit. What is real? What is fake? It must be fake. On and on and on and on. Scrolling on and on and on. Feed the algorithm some.
And we are back here on Genius Box on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea.
I'm Reed.
Hey, still Reed after all.
Still Reed after all these years.
We are in the call-in portion of the program, and we have some things to ask you about today. If you have thoughts on our earlier topics, you're welcome to reach out as well, 503-231-8187. You can also message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Click on that chat with us button, and we'll be able to see that there. What we wanted to talk about today... Minnesota, Minneapolis is calling for a big shutdown today, mm-hmm. not necessarily a general strike because of language reasons, mm-hmm. but that they had a strike the other week. There's building momentum on this and things like that. Last week on Genius Box, we talked about anarchist calisthenics, getting small ways of... not adhering to what is expected or
crossing the street in Germany.
Crossing the street in Germany. Are we jaywalking? Are we guerrilla gardening? All of these things that you're...
Are we parking in the bike lane, turning on my emergency lights, getting
yeah,
out?
Yeah, Reed's really into parking in the bike lane right now, even though you ride your bike everywhere.
Yeah, no, I'm living out like kind of a revenge fantasy.
A revenge against
parking
your
in the bike
self.
Lane of all the people who park in the bike lane.
Right. Well, we want to talk about building to a general strike, anarchist calisthenics, structure tests, things of that nature. If you'd like to call in and talk to us about that, please, 503-231-8187. We did get a message online kind of talking about the Google side of things. If demand must be supplied, where exactly is the demand for AI? Is it the person who simply must, even amidst a simple conversation, disprove what's being said by looking and referencing their Google on the spot? Gonna prove you wrong, says the one practicing one-upsmanship.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, Google has required big server capacity to do all of that stuff, but you'll remember that the AI overlay, which is just scraping information from Reddit, is taking a lot of data, or is taking a lot of, you know, space, water, electricity, but we had the answers before. You just had to click through and
you had to click another button,
Wikipedia article,
and then read the whole thing.
So I think that's the one-upsmanship. That's
just
certainly part of it.
Yeah, what we've done now is now we've digested that into beautiful sycophantic language.
Yeah, and it's even better because sometimes it's wrong.
Sometimes it's wrong, or it's like deeply wrong. Makes you do things that are really bad
induces
for yourself.
Induces psychosis.
So,
but I think it's a good. We could be pondering more, and not going right to Google for our answers. That's certainly one thing.
Well, but that's just bringing dollars into the DAOs. The more I go on, think about it this way, the more I click ChatGPT and I say, make a saucy meme from this text.
Yeah. What if a duck and a penguin had a baby?
Can you show me what a duck and a penguin looks like if they were shaking hands?
If they were shaking hands, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's an entire... There's a lot of corporate interest sort of predicated on the expansion of data centers and increasing our individual reliance on them. It's not a huge the consumer side of things isn't huge, isn't as huge anyway. They want us to use it, but I don't know that most people find it super integral. But that is part of it. Yeah.
Generally have faced it with revulsion.
No, some people like it.
No, of course.
But, you know, interrogate why. But I think it's one of those things, in the same way that we talk about addressing climate change, that there are individual acts that you can take to decrease your carbon footprint, and those are worth doing. Our problem is on the scale of corporations and governments.
Yeah.
It may behoove us to look in that direction. No, it's wildly unregulated, it's exploitative, and it's companies that are reaping most of the benefits there. Folks, if you want to call, please, 503-231-8187. Okay. So I wanted to shout out some of the local actions that are happening coming up. On Saturday, there's the Labor Against ICE rally and march. Starts at 3 at Elizabeth Carruthers Park. That's, you know, all the unions are coming out that day. There is also the next Day Without an Immigrant strike in Oregon is February 16th. So that's a Monday. File that away if you are not in prepped for shutdown mode today. One thing I wanted, so I was kind of looking into this, and, you know, there's been talk of a general strike and what does that take? And of course, unions in the United States, we don't have a great practice of that, especially political strikes.
It's already been dismantled over the last 8 years.
Yeah, but it is still possibly a very, very powerful action.
Yeah.
And
we saw it like in 2023 with the United Auto Workers strike.
Mm.
It was a hugely successful campaign, I would say.
Right. And so then broadening that out to people who are non-unionized, to something broader than that, is something that folks are thinking about. But what's maybe more important is preparing for it when it happens, having those structures in place. So we're going to get into that in a minute here. But we do have Jeff on the line. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Hope you're well. The general strike. And I ain't going nowhere. Even this call, however, somehow gives somebody some money somewhere. and somebody has monetized every syllable that emerges from this wound under my nose, and I know that can't be avoided. But general strike, it's now, baby. Let's do it.
Let's do it. That thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
I the wound under my nose is evocative language. I appreciate that. So I want to get into a
is
little
that a mustache
for you, maybe.
No. Caterpillar under my nose.
So there's a article from Waging Nonviolence that says, "What's it going to take to get to mass strikes?" by Daniel Hunter, and I want to read you part of what they talk about in this article. So they talk about the writings of Jane McElvey and thinking about starting a strike, making a distinction between activists and leaders, which is interesting. So activists are folks who are volunteering. They're ready to take risks. They're ready to get involved. Leaders, on the other hand, are people who are trusted and who are people that are, you know, people listen to. They're naturally turning towards them. And so they talk about that a strike that's led by activists can be very energetic, mm-hmm. but it's hard to make those durable. A strike led by leaders is often slower, harder to coordinate, mm-hmm. but may in fact be more powerful because it's resting on relationships and trust. Talking about some of the lessons of organizing being that movements don't win strikes because a committed minority is heroic. They win because an organized majority is prepared. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's something that might be helpful to think about. I mean, I think it relates to the anarchist calisthenics idea that we were talking about last week, which is taking little steps. And this is true of, you know, organizing as well, right? Which is people don't just go from being angry to getting into a strike, right? There's small steps along the way, which they call structure tests. Small collective risks taken together, quote, visible proof that we can do this. Each test builds confidence, discipline, and organization, the muscle memory required when the stakes rise. So in you know, union spaces, of which KBOO is one, and we've done stuff like this before, there is like survey taking that we do of members asking, hey, are you willing to like wear this color on this day? Can we take this coordinated action together that isn't necessarily on the scale of a walkout, but can we take small risks to show collective power? Like during the pandemic, KBOO staff, we had our all union backgrounds on Zoom and things like that, which is, you know, when you're talking about the things that on the level of a general strike, it's like, that's petty, that's small, who cares about that, right? But it's also taking one small step towards showing like cohesion and the collective power of those things. So I think it's important to track the value of that and think about where that fits in right now. And especially I think about it with social media, and that a lot of people, they're like, I'm posting all I can. And that's great. That's definitely one demonstration, one small structure test of showing that this is, you know, where you're headed. But I think also exploring where else to go from there is something that is important to do. We have Ted on the line with us. Hi, Ted. Good morning.
Hi, Ted.
Hi. I just have a comment, something I noticed recently about internet browsers. I don't know if this applies to all of them, but it does apply to Firefox. There is a way to reduce your use of the automatic AI. And it's a little bit technical, but you can Google it and it'll tell you how to make about a handful of changes in the about.config, and that will make it so it doesn't automatically do that. I don't like that. I would rather not have this little suggestion that came from AI all the time.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Use a little bit. I think other browsers have that, but I don't know. You could always choose. I'm talking about Firefox, and you could always choose to use Firefox. Or I think Opera, too, is one that you might be able to turn it off even more. Anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. Google it and figure out how to reduce your AI use automatically.
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, Firefox is one of the better browsers for that. The really annoying thing about Google search is that it does not let you turn it off. And yeah. You can turn it off in your email, but I think something important to note when we're talking about AI and the ways that it's sort of like trying to creep into our lives is that AI feeds on data.
Mm-hmm.
The AI models have gobbled up all of the publicly available internet already. But in order for them to be smart and not dumb, which they already are kind of dumb in my opinion, they need more good data. And that includes from reading your emails. That's also like why we're seeing companies move towards AI wearables, things that like things that are on you all the time listening to you.
I should say full disclosure that I've got the AI Ray-Bans.
No.
I'm wearing my AI watch.
No, that's not allowed in the Genius Box. Throw those out. I thought you were just wearing cool glasses.
I have my AI integrated GoPro that I'm also live streaming this episode with.
It doesn't need to be AI integrated, but because it doesn't.
I got them for Christmas. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. What am I? Your Christmas wish getter? You want me to get you something else? You can buy analog regular sunglasses.
I asked for accessories, and this is what I got.
But I think maybe we should reframe the, because, you know, you get an AI-enabled device and it doesn't necessarily give you more things to do with it or help you in a meaningful way, but you're helping it by giving it data. If it seems like it was a great price, it's trying to learn and all of your information. And so looking for open source solutions. Like,
hey, can we get that slurp sound?
And one more of those? No more slurps. I'm sorry. It's okay. Probably not the most pleasant listening experience. But yeah, some of the browsers and search engines are better at that than others. So it's something worth looking at. You also maybe see if you can go a day without looking something up online. Just see how it goes.
Wow.
Yeah. Are they still making encyclopedias?
Dust off the old Farmer's Almanac.
I love the Farmer's Almanac, by the way.
Yeah.
Huge fan. I actually need to get my copy for this year.
I will say my grandfather, who was a Luddite in every sense, but kind of in a different sense, because it wasn't like sort of like a labor awareness hatred of technology. He thought that it would quite literally explode. And so he bought my sister and I glasses for using our computer when we got a home desktop computer when we were kids to protect against, he said, to protect glasses? What if and when the screen would explode and shatter glass into our eyes.
Yeah.
And
did they help when that happened?
Well, yeah, no, that's why I have great vision.
Perfect vision.
And the glasses.
Huge eyes.
Huge eyes. Yeah. Noticeably larger eyes than other people. But he would, because he didn't have a computer, look everything up in the current almanac. You always have and he'd get it one for my sister and I every year. So I have, an almanac through 2006 or so.
Yeah.
They are...
No new info that we needed since then, I wouldn't think.
Pretty sure things are just kind of flat. Well, yeah, that was the year that the Dalles released their... decided that they wanted to upgrade their water system. So I kind of just tuned out after that.
Right.
And I support...
Seemed good.
Their expansion of the reservoir. Mm-hmm. No further context needed.
Yeah. We got a message online, folks. If you want to call in, you can. 503-231-8187. You can also message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Click on that chat with us button. Someone writes, I hope with the discussion of the power of the union in solidarity with age-old general strike and to protect immigrants can also look at how the unions are complicit with data centers and other resource-stealing industries. I say this as a retired IBEW electrician who has gone head-to-head throughout the years with my union when they silenced me speaking out against the second Iraq war, as well as their advocacy for the LNG plants along the Oregon coast, methane refineries, and other harmful industries, which I was a part of in Intel culture for years. Unions need to not just pay lip service, but actually stopping to participate in the construction of our destruction.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a scorcher. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah,
I
that
like
is
that
a scorcher.
One. But yeah, I think that it's not a universal salve, to be sure. It's a scaffolding on which Americans haven't really built much in terms of
Unions advocacy. Or data centers?
Unions.
Oh, okay.
You think data? My heel turn. I'm actually so pro data center now. Good Lord.
Got to put a pickleball court on the tennis center.
Now that's interesting. We have Barth on the line. Hi, Barth. Good morning. Barth.
Good morning. I missed most of your show, alas, but you were recently just talking about AI, scooping up all the data it can, and you said it wants to learn. We have to quit treating this as a benign abstract. It's intending to use all of the data, which is sucking up all of the electricity, and by doing so, it becomes more competent at making you a funny little drawing about you and the baby and the goat. There's so much waste in that system, and the system knows no limit.
Mm-hmm.
So by using it often or cooperating with it abstractly and passively, you are helping to bring about the weird future that we're already moving into. So, and I know I'm not directing this at you primarily, but just overall. Also a comment from your union online person. Yes, unions tend to be myopic in terms of long-term consequences versus short-term gain, and they're in the Western capitalist model where more jobs equals better jobs, equals more money flowing to us. And so it must be a positive value. And we know that it's not overall, but you have to get some alternatives going. Let's get the unions making a big push for solar energy and the retrofit, the Green New Deal, although that idea is a little passe, but they could have put some weight behind that because it would have put people to work. And, even in the secondary tier, they could also be union people if you're unionizing the installers and unionizing the fixers. That's still growth for your industry. It's growth for your bottom line, and it's political power, which I think all of the folks want some of, and ideally with a little more positive direction and a look toward a future that works for more people, that ought to be possible.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Barth. I appreciate that. You made a lot of good points there. I'm going to add in here that there, just this past week, there's a new coalition of labor organizations that includes building and construction trades and the AFL-CIO. There's this new Climate Jobs Oregon group, which is labor-focused but trying to focus on clean energy transition and making sure that those are expanding into good union jobs. So that is something that is in the works here. Also, taking the point about it being like the AI abstract of, it wants this. Let me be clear. Companies, corporations.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg want to hear. Yeah, and they want to hear my conversation with my mom. They want to.
Not because they're interested in you or your mother or human communication, or they hold human life or any of its constituent elements in of any value.
No.
They are interested in, these are truly people who have zero value, put zero value in humanity.
Right.
Writ large.
One thing I want to mention about large language models and a lot of the way that we're seeing AI put towards consumers, large language models and many of the AI models that are coming or that are relying on these data centers and are gobbling up so much electricity and water are, one, not very good at what they're setting out to do measurably. They're not very good at it. And two, there are better models that do more more helpful or reliable analysis that rely on far less electricity and water, like could run on a PC, you know, just the PC, not relying on like the sort of stuff that we're seeing from data centers. But there's an entire industry that is predicated upon the data centers and the large language models, and actually it's propping up our entire economy right now. So if we get real about that, we don't want AI like this, and it's also not helping, and even all the jobs that it's gobbling up, it's not doing those jobs well, and everything's just gotten worse.
Yeah,
the economy is like predicated on us not.
Yeah, Althea, if we consolidate it down to one monitor, then how am I able to build a football field sized building on 50 acres of land in the middle of eastern Oregon and get $80 million of tax write-offs?
Yeah, I guess that could possibly be in jeopardy if things don't go the way they're going.
And employ 4 people.
Yeah, right. The 4 people to upkeep it. And that's a great point. We have Sharon on the line. Hi, Sharon. Good morning.
Hi,
Sharon.
Hi. It's 2 things. One about the AI and the water consumption of the house that you guys began with. I know we have the Power Act here to hold the companies at least somewhat fiscally responsible for the power they use. So is there something like that, or could there be something like that for water use? I'm not sure. That's just something I either want to ask you or ask people to explore with their representatives, that we could hold companies at least fiscally responsible for the water that they use also. And the second thing I wanted to talk about was about AI. I used to be a teacher a long time ago, and so research was a really important thing, obviously, for people being able to have knowledge and do critical thinking and all those really valuable things. And a lot of times now, people have actually had to work on teaching young people how to do research. They're so used to just Googling something, and that as a society, it could cost us a lot if people always are just relying on a few servers to give them all their knowledge. They cannot fully explore and come up with the wide breadth of knowledge that's out there. So there's obviously a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing that up. I think that's important to say for sure about how our standards and thoughts around research have changed. And when I was, in school, they would get on us for using Wikipedia, and now it seems that Wikipedia is
is the last bastion of
and just because the nerds on Wikipedia are total sticks in the mud, and shout out to those sticks in the mud. Yeah. We actually need
shout out to
so
the
bad.
Wikipedia community, where you have some of the most asinine and
pedantic individuals
arguments wagered.
But they take their sourcing very seriously.
And they make sure that, you know, the Princess Diana Beanie Baby. Wow.
Go on. What about her?
Well, that it's accurately referenced. And
right. They're upholding some standards. But yeah, I think that what Sharon is saying is a point well taken when it comes to research. And yeah, our standards for truth have eroded in a lot of ways.
Yeah, to Sharon's other point about, or question about, whether data centers have to, you know, face financial consequences for the amount of water they use. As far as I know, there's nothing in place. I know that Google did pay into improving the Dalles water infrastructure,
right,
for tax write-offs. I don't know if that's, and I,
I don't
let
think
me say that I'm
thing.
Skeptical that it is compensatory to the amount of damage, overuse,
exploitation of natural resources,
uh-huh, the potential environmental impacts of running, mm-hmm, a massive water to cool this electrical grid and then just whoosh,
right,
setting it right back out.
Well, so, but I think also worth noting from what Sharon said about the Power Act, is very new. I think it's like the last year, 2 years that we even passed that. Right. So, you know, this gobbling up of our water resources is a newer thing, but probably won't be gotten to in this short legislative session.
Yeah, maybe if you have an extra day. Maybe if you did widen it to 45 days, as I'm recommending.
Right, that's Reed's big push right now. Anyway, thank you to everybody who called and messaged us today. Appreciate the conversation as per usual.
Yeah.
Anything else we should say before we go? Just thank you for listening.
Thanks to me.
Thanks to Reed for being here. Thanks to Nate for running our board. And I hope everybody has a good rest of their day. This is Genius Box. We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934.